Hello.
Hello, you sound deep today.
I'm very deep today.
Yeah.
This is welcome to Geek Brunch After Dark, where we will be going to the depths of the human psyche.
Answer your sex questions.
That's right. For caller one, you're on the line.
That's so awesome that you bring that up because I just read Shadow Man Volume 3. And he was a radio,
Which one was volume three?
the Michael LeRoy Zero,
Who's the publisher?
Acclaim,
Okay. That is
Valiant.
that the one that's like really hard, expensive?
The number six is,
Okay.
yeah, Volume 3, number six.
Oh, is that the final?
Yeah, before
Where
they went defunct and out of
they printed
business.
like 200 copies or something?
It's probably under 1,000. I don't know. It's pretty rare. There's three books that are hard to find: Armorines number 3, Shadow Man number 6, volume 3, Armorines volume 2, number 3, and Unity 3000. This one's not as hard, but I think it's number 3. Unity 2000, number 3.
A lot of number threes. They must have low print run on number threes. Just 'cause by the time the number two numbers came in, they said,
Yeah, they said, "Damn, these are like Bill Bomers buying our titles.
a
Son of
drop
a
since number
bitch."
one. What happened?
He's a bad influence.
He's telling people not to buy number twos.
What's
Stop
the
the
matter with you?
press. Stop the presses.
People like Bill Bomer determine what keeps on getting published.
Yes.
Yes.
If I get the number two, then they're like, "Oh my God, our sales have never picked up. What's going on?" I get some number twos, plenty of number twos
Well, you
sometimes.
better stay on Prez because that one's selling really low.
I know they already cut it to, I think, six issues from 12. You
You
don't
may
think
not
it's going
get
to
the
make that
trade.
far?
Well, that's one of those, you know how DC does trades? They'll solicit like forever people and then it'll never come out and then they'll
I
cancel it,
know.
credit your account.
I know. Now I have no forever people.
So yeah, because of people like you. You're conditioning the comics industry.
I no. It's because pre-orders in the trade were so low. I pre-ordered the trade. It's because
Yeah.
not enough people like me were waiting for the trade. If there are more people who had waited for the trade, then we would have a trade right now.
No, I don't agree with your theory. The book would be 12 issues if it wasn't for you.
That's true too.
Yeah.
That is true too.
You better keep getting Prez or I'll get a, next time I see you, I'm kicking you in the balls.
Right, the ball. Now you can say hello.
Before I say hello. Before I give you a hug and just right in the balls.
Have my arms open wide for a nice hug. Bam! In the balls.
Rabbit punch right in the balls. Yeah, you gotta quit fucking around in today's industry, Bill. You cannot change the industry single-handedly.
But I can single-handedly destroy the industry.
You can destroy my enjoyment of the industry is what you do.
So I need to get the books that are in danger that you like.
That I like. Yeah, that so we
To
can keep them
save,
going.
keep them on. I've been getting I pre-ordered all the prezzes so far,
Well, good for you, good boy.
so it's not my fault they cut it down to six issues.
Yeah, whose fault is it? Which of our listeners are not buying Prez?
Prez is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love the marijuana bear.
I don't understand that. Is that a figment of the imagination or does he just show up?
I
Is
think
he
it
a
should.
real thing?
I think yeah. I think it's a re yeah. It's a real thing. It's like the suicide assisted suicide bear.
Well, her father died of what was it, the chicken, the cat flu.
Cat flu, yeah.
Which is weird in itself. But I guess what I find interesting about that book is it's so relevant, even though it's ridiculous. Because you have the various parties fighting over stupid shit, right? And
special interests trying to
control everything.
Control the votes in each state.
And that's what really sucks. They're controlling, like, oh, you got to give us this. Oh, you got to give us this. And then they keep fighting over it.
And we'll give you all this stuff if you...
She's sliding under the radar with this electoral thing. It's a pretty cool book.
It is. It's a good mix between a social commentary and humor.
The marijuana bear.
Yeah. It's just a suicide bear who comes in. Like, if you want to end your life, it'll come in and get you high and kill you.
Which is interesting because there was that one, you know, there's a couple of states, Oregon and I think Washington, and that have the suicide stuff, assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. Like if you're dying and you're in pain.
Had enough.
Yeah. I saw that documentary. It was sad, man.
Is that the one that Keith made you watch?
Yeah, it's like Keith Knudsen selection. The thing that I like about it, yeah, I make fun of his movies a lot and shit like that. But the thing I liked about it is this documentary gave me a lot of self awareness of stuff I just didn't understand.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. As much as you hate to learn, it's good to learn.
Well, it is.
Once in a while.
If you know you're gonna die, you want to get citizenship in those states, man.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, you gotta.
You want to plan early.
Plan ahead.
Yeah, but it's sad though because these people that want to die, they're usually in bad shape. I mean, bad shape. And they're in constant pain, and they're not themselves. And then they can't. They just have to wait it out.
Right, right. Yeah, and they're like, unplug me, just let me die.
I'm yeah. Dead.
It's understandable. That's... I mean,
at least in the future, they have this bear.
Yeah, thankfully they have the bear. It'll take care of you. Smother you with a pillow.
I liked her father's speech, though. Like, she was saying, it's a joke that they've elected me president. And he kind of like said, no, it's not, you know. He kind of like built up her self-confidence a little bit before he passed away.
Oh, telling her, yeah, that she's a unique person. And I was always wanting, so obviously the premise of the prez was that this teenage girl becomes president. And I was always curious as to how they were going to pull that one off in a believable manner. And they actually managed to. The way they did it, I thought was completely believable. I mean, outrageous, sure, but
yeah,
you could see it happening.
Oh, you could see it happening. Because if people start, like, it just seemed like the parties that were running for election lost sight of what was real. And then people started electing her as a joke, as a viral thing. And, man, she just started gaining popularity because people just got sick of the bullshit.
But because of the viral thing, she only won the one state.
Yeah.
But then the other states they were greedy, basically. They were saying, we want... You know, one state wanted NASA to move to their state. Another one, I can't remember what another one wanted, but they all wanted things from the government. And they're saying, if you want our vote, then we need the stuff. Yeah. And then everyone started doing it. So they started moving their votes to the girl because they're like, okay, we're not going to vote for either of you unless we get what we want. So everyone started moving their pawn piece to the girl saying, you know, we're putting it here until you make a good offer, and then we'll put it on your side. Not realizing her number kept going up, and then it went over the threshold, and she was president.
It was basically moving all their pawn pieces, thinking that their individual pawn pieces were going to be harmless.
Right, didn't matter.
And it didn't matter.
Hey, it's like if there's an election and, you know, like Ronald McDonald was running, and you said, eh, screw it, I hate these two.
I'm going to vote for Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, I hate these two guys. I'm voting for Ronald McDonald. Next thing you know, Ronald McDonald's president.
Yeah.
It's good. It's well written, and there's a lot of little funny jokes every throughout.
It's great. It's drawn really good too. I like it.
Who is the artist on that?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but I could look up for you real quick because I have a really good database, unlike a spreadsheet.
I have it in front of me. Ben Caldwell. By Mark Russell. I was glad to see another appearance of the taco drone in number two.
That is so ridiculous.
The guy, he's like, "Hey, you forgot my sour cream." And then he like sprays sour cream in his mouth.
I know. He really loads it on, too. Gets him a lot of sour cream. Wasn't stingy with the sour cream. Yeah, Ben Caldwell.
That is a good book. Yeah, it is unfortunate that it's not doing well because it's one of the better books that's out there right now.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, no, it's not. It you know, what's popular sells, and this isn't popular.
Yeah, I know. Not surprising, just unfortunate.
Yeah, he did Superboy Future's End and some Harlequin Valentine's Day special.
And some artist.
Yeah. Did the Harlequin Annual. Which also had marijuana in it, right? Or was it the pot smelling, sniffing issue? That was such an unusual. Yeah. I can't believe they did that. My mind can't wrap itself around that. Like, why they would do that? But it's such an unusual thing. So, yeah, that gets a thumbs up. I dig it. I gave it 5 out of 5. I think it's one of my top DCs, along with Constantine and a couple others.
I was just flipping through it. I forgot they went to the global warming village.
Yeah.
Where they have, like, people from, I guess, who are transposed from where they live to the zoo, basically.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Basically, he's taken all these like ideas and said, okay, let's push them to their
extreme
in the future, yeah.
Kind of like Judge Dredd. It's in a different sense, you know what I mean? It takes little things that are in pop culture or society or history.
Right.
And then multiplies it by 10, you know? Says, well, how can we make this ridiculous, you know?
Right, like for the drones, for example, because now they have drones doing, like, deliveries and stuff. So he's like, what if drones were actually delivering food? the taco drones.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not going to last.
Because of Bomer.
Not because of me. I'm buying it.
Yes. I got to start sending you lists of books to buy. You're going to buy this number two because you won't get the trade.
Yes, because it's working well so far.
Like, you're not going to get a Roman Ritual trade. I don't think you will.
Probably not. I have the issues.
I know you do. You buy Amigo, but I'm just saying. There's certain things you can't take the risk of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, to wait, yeah.
The lower-selling DC titles are dangerous for a major publisher that you won't get the trade. Marvel, you'll pretty much... I haven't seen anything that Marvel not traded.
Yeah, I don't know if there has been...
Image usually is if they can complete the series. if they can keep it on target, they'll at least trade it. At least the first arc.
Yeah, and I think they do... Well, yeah, unless something happened... Yeah, unless they, for some reason, can't complete the first arc, then they'll bring out a trade. And then Marvel, I think they'll either bring out a trade or they'll bring out a collection that has that miniseries in it. Like if it's part of a bigger series.
Yeah, like a Secret Wars omnibus or something.
Yeah, or they'll just include it or for one of the characters, like a character trade or something or collection. But eventually it'll make it somewhere. It'll appear somewhere.
That's a pain in the ass, though. Like if you like to get trades and then you have to invest in a hardcover, or, you know. Well, I guess a lot of their hardcovers become soft covers at some point.
Yeah, I don't know if they all do, but so you have to get a hardcover.
Yeah. So I read Roman Ritual because you recommend it. You recommended some good things. There was one, I mean, two of them were 5 out of 5s. Well, Prez I had already read before. Yeah, it's weird that you recommended something that I had already read just like an hour before you recommended it. Right. That was the Grave Digger.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was just reading it as you recommended it, and I was like, I had mixed feelings on trying to read it because of the format.
Oh, I hate the format. I hate it.
I thought it was weird, but you know what? I thought that as soon as I got past like the first 4 pages, I forgot that it was a new format because I was so engrossed in the story.
Yeah, I hate it. I've always hated the landscape format. It's like it's such a pain in the ass to try and hold the comic and turn the pages when you get to turn it sideways.
Yeah,
it's a pain in the ass. Don't do it, publishers, please. Killing me. I know, like, yeah, it probably did take me, like, the first 4 pages to stop saying, son of a bitch, and try and figure out, like, how to position my hand to hold
the page. Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of a barrier to read it, because the cover's fucking amazing. Like, you look at the cover, and you're like, I gotta read this shit, right? And then you, like, pop it open, and it's, like, in a fucked up format, and you're like, oh, damn, maybe I'll put it off till next week, because I gotta be in the mood for it. And I absolutely loved it because one of the things that I'm reading right now is John Sable Freelance, you know, okay, from Grell. And it reminds me of that book, just the way the layouts were done and stuff, you know, the action, the way it's paced,
mm-hmm.
The sexy women. I mean, it was like a crazy cool action adventure series. Rick Burchett and does the art, and Christopher Mills is the writer. And I pretty much bought this just because of the cover. I said, "Ah, it's Danger Zone, so like I kind of like don't get too many of the Action Labs if they're the kids' books, you know."
Right, but right.
I do like to get some of their Danger Zone books, and some of them I like, and some that I don't like. But this one I really, really enjoyed, and I was in, like I said, 4 pages in, and I was already sucked into this world, and the format no longer bothered me.
Yeah, I got used to the format. I think once the story got going, and I was the same way. I was kind of on the fence on this one, but at some point I just said, I'll throw it in. I guess I had room that month, so I threw it in just to try it out. And I did like it, too. I was surprised that it was black and white art on the inside. But it's black and white art with, like, gray tone, whatever, painting as well, so.
Yeah, but the solicit does say black and white. You probably didn't read it.
I didn't read the fine print. I wasn't upset by it or anything. I was just...
It didn't bother me at all that it was black and white. The layout kind of bothered me.
Yeah, no, the black and white worked really well, I thought.
Just like Scott Collins just put out that Atom 3.1 or whatever. I can't remember what it's titled. But I like Scott Collins a lot. So mm-hmm. I bought it from Dark Horse. And it's a different format even than this because it's like I can't even describe it. It's like you open it up sideways. And it's like it's an unusual format. Did you buy that?
I don't have it yet, but okay. So I don't know if I did.
Oh, you don't know if you ordered it or not?
Let me. I have to check my file.
Oh no, this takes about 30 minutes.
When was it solicited? So it just came out
2 months ago. Months yeah, back. Just came out this Wednesday.
So let's see. What was it called?
Atom. I can look it up. I haven't read it yet.
I didn't see it.
Atom 0.3.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
You open it up sideways, like the cover is positioned landscape, but instead of doing it like we open it up, you know, it like that Gravedigger opens up, it opens up from the side. So
I
it's
think
like if you tilt it, if you're looking at a comic like straight on and you rotate it 90 degrees,
it's stapled on the other
it's
side.
stapled on the other side, yeah.
Well, that's what I would prefer because it'd be easier to read. That's what they should have done with this one.
It is easier to read, but it's like a PowerPoint presentation, which I have bad. It
Associations.
reminds me of work a little bit.
Yeah, it feels like you're at work.
And somebody just stapled the presentation together.
It's a hand. It feels like a handout on the table when you come in the room.
I get flashbacks. I like to decompress and not think of work when I'm reading
This
a
comic reminds me of no.
I actually think Gravedigger was my favorite that you picked. I mean, even though I had picked it before you picked it.
Yeah, so Gravedigger is when does it take place in the
I thought it was current time, but it could be.
I guess it is current time. I don't think it really says. I guess the only reason that came to my mind is it reads more like a flashback, like it's about like gangsters and
Yeah, it reads like a crime noir,
yeah, like a pulp.
crime noir pulp. And I really like it because I still don't know how that girl died. You know,
Oh, at the
we
beginning.
still don't know
Yeah,
because
the mystery.
it's the mobster's daughter. And I mean they're leading me to believe that it's that one fucker that's jealous, you know what I mean? The one guy in the white suit, white jacket. I think it's that fucker, unless they like do a fast one and change it up a little bit, but I think it's him.
And then the main character is this guy, Gravedigger, who's that older guy with gray
Yeah.
hair.
Somebody said on when I posted a picture of it, Lee Marvin. I think it was Dean Stahl, and it does look like Lee Marvin.
Yeah, it looks like Lee Marvin. Yeah, all the
It's weird.
characters
It's
kind of
weird
look
though
like
because
other
he's an
people.
older guy, but he gets really attracted to the mobster's daughter, and he knows like it's gonna be fucked up. Like he's like,
Yeah, he's like, this is a
I shouldn't be
mistake.
doing this. This is
Yeah,
gonna be a horrible mistake, but he does it
the mob
anyway.
boss's daughter.
But it's weird because the mob boss is like, I'll let it happen. My daughter's smart. She could protect herself, right? And then that one goon underneath him is like jealous as all hell. And doesn't want it to happen. So I think he's got a thing for her. He's just too chicken shit to ever ask his boss, could I date your daughter? But the Gravedigger had no problem with it. And then so he's got the whole mob after him because one day he wakes up and the girl's murdered and.
Yeah, that's how it opened with her dead in his bed.
Yeah. And everybody after him. And then he
Yeah.
imagines he gets to escape the hotel. And jump into it. This is where it gets really interesting. This is where I was like, wow, that's weird. He gets into a car, which happens to be this sexy woman's car that's attracted to him, that had a husband that he had botched a job of, and he owed money to the husband. And it got weird.
Yeah, because the Gravedigger is a professional thief, right?
Yeah.
He's not in the mob, but
Mercenary,
he.
I think he's like a mercenary thief. Like, he'll do jobs. He might go to kill somebody, I think. I don't know.
Oh,
But he seems
he
like he's
might
a
kill
heist guy.
people.
He's hired to do heists
Yeah,
to
big
steal stuff.
jobs. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting, and the art was not real nice too. Almost had like a Mad Magazine quality to it.
I thought it reminded me of like Kimiko or First or some of the independent publishers back in the 80s, you know. I liked it. It did have like there was something about it that had like a Mad Magazine feel, but it was more of a realistic
Yeah, definitely a
magazine
more,
feel.
more realistic.
Stick.
Like when they did like the movie parodies, that kind of style.
Yeah. He gave in, man. He had sex with that woman too.
Yeah, he's a
He's led by his dick.
let his dick make the decisions. It was good though. Like I liked that it pulled you into this kind of world, like in Malibu or wherever they were,
Yeah.
Vegas or I can't remember where they were.
I
But
like the
yeah, in Florida, Southern Florida, that's where it
yeah.
was. And it really did a good job of pulling you into this world. Because by the end, I was like, "Dang, that was good." I felt like I was there, in
Yeah,
bed with,
in bed with that blonde.
in bed with that grave digger. I mean, the blonde.
Yeah, it's cool because the artist draws good shapes and stuff. Because you notice the one,
It
yeah, he draws
draws
the one girl, the younger girl, like really sexy and skinnier, where the older blonde is a little more full. But really sexy, and I dig that.
Yeah.
It was a good.
So
I
draws
really
more than one
enjoyed it.
style of
Yeah,
one.
they all didn't look the same, and you can tell every character. You could tell like all the mobsters apart. You know what I mean? They all had distinctive looks, distinctive sizes. They didn't all look the same. It wasn't hard to tell, and it was black and white, so there wasn't any color differentiation that they could use to distinguish the characters. It was all based on the art. And I dug it.
Yeah, and that's a 3-issue series.
Yeah,
I guess
I'm glad they did it.
the first 2 issues, in the back, it said the first 2 issues are this one storyline, and then the third issue is like a earlier story that they did.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was a good one from Action Lab. Danger Zone.
So what are you doing with this one? They're not. Did
What?
you order the next one? You didn't
Um,
order the next one, didn't you? You didn't.
I did not, but I ordered it in arrears.
You ordered it what?
Arrear.
A rear? What the fuck does that mean? Somebody's ass? You ordered it in a rear?
Yes,
Like
I ordered
REAR, rear?
a
What the fuck
rear.
does that mean? Explain this to me.
It's money that should have been paid earlier.
Money that should be paid earlier.
No, I sent a secret email to my dealer.
Yes, yeah. And they said okay.
I don't know. I don't think I've heard back yet. I just did it yesterday.
Oh, you probably won't get it. That's
After I read it.
a risky one. Like DCBS is really good. Like, if you say, "Could you please add this to my list?" But like, for example, let me give you an example.
It hasn't come out yet, though. So it's possible.
That is possible. That's true. But I did order the Shrinking Man from IDW. Because I like number one, I picked that one off the shelf and I liked it. It's based on the book, and they did a film on a black and white movie. I really liked the first one. The second one was disturbing as all hell, man. I really wish you read it so we could discuss it because it's fucked up. But I if this was in the book, and I don't know when The Shrinking Man was written, but it was really disturbing for the time because. The gist of the story is the guy goes into a mist, and this mist starts reducing him by so many inches every week. It just gets smaller and smaller. And in issue one, it's getting interesting. You know, he's like frustrated, and the thing that it does that might annoy people is it goes back and forth in time. So you might get a scene where he's like a little Ant-Man. And then you'll get a scene where it's like current time, and then a scene in the middle, and it just goes back and forth. But it does it in a way that it's easily you're easily shifted into that time frame. Like it's not confusing at all if you can tolerate all the shifts. And then the thing that's disturbing is, man, when he starts to get well, he wants to have sex with his wife, and his wife just can't do it because right now he's turning into like a teenage boy size, like it could be her son, And it's like disturbing as hell. And he gets frustrated. He's like, fuck this. And I don't want to deal with the doctors poking me anymore. I got to get the fuck out of here.
She say, "Your peenie is too small."
Well, it gets into that. It's weird. Because he takes off and his car breaks down. And at this time he's like a boy. Like he's at a boy size. And this weird fucker, this guy that quotes Shakespeare and starts speaking in French and stuff, and he
Oh,
looks like he's drunk.
watches documentaries,
He watches
drinks a lot of beer,
documentaries, drinks a lot of beer.
grew up in Germany.
Yeah, one of those fuckers. He picks him up and tries to molest him. Like he
Oh,
keeps putting his hand on
in
his
between his
knee,
legs.
yeah, between his legs and stuff. It's really disturbing. And he's like drinking and shit. And he's like, "Well, I'll take you to my hotel room." And he's like, he doesn't say, "Well, I'm a grown ass man, motherfucker. I'll beat you." But he's like, "Let me out of the fucking car." Well, he manages to get out of the car, and the guy thinks nothing of it. You know, he just keeps on going. And he gets out of the car into a street where there's like a couple of like teenage thugs, and they see this guy, and they're like. They like say something like, "I wonder if he's got a little." They were gonna beat him up and take his money, right? Because they think he's a teenage kid, right? But they realize, oh God, this guy's in the paper. He's the shrinking man. And these teenage kids say, "I wonder if he's got a small peepee now." Like, what the fuck is this? And then this book is just making me feel real uncomfortable, man. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
You're looking over your shoulder to see if anyone's watching you read it.
Yeah, this is just weird, man. And if this was based on this story, I was just like, I wonder if it was this explicit in the book, because I'm pretty sure the movie's not going to have that stuff in there. But that's all issue two is. But the long, what I was trying to get to, and then distracted, and actually reviewed the book, but is that I don't think they're going to get me number two, because I asked for it on the day that it was solicited. So it's still in my bill. Like, we'll add it.
Yeah, they ordered it, but they
So
don't know if they're
sure.
going to receive it.
I didn't want to take the risk. So I bought it at the shop. And at the shop, he's like a Bill Bomer. Like, he's very conservative. Like, he likes to take chances with putting a bunch of number ones on there. But if somebody doesn't bite, he doesn't really do an audit and say, "Oh, I sold out a shrinking man. Maybe I should order one for the shelf." What he does is say, "Well, did that guy come back and add it to his pull list? Do you know what I mean?" And then he won't get number two. But in this case, he got number two, and I pulled it just so I could read it, because I knew it was a risk, and I might have two of them. But that th
Okay.
those titles are risky. We'll see. I'd be curious to see if they give it to you.
Yeah. And then there was a trade solicited this month too for Grave Digger.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Why you say damn it?
Because I don't want them to do it. Because I don't. Because it falls right to my body. Motherfuckers.
But that's no guarantee that it's going to come out right. Although I am curious how they're going to bind the trade, if they'll do it sideways
Well,
or.
you know what would suck, and this is what I'm gonna just tell you right up front. You know how it's hard in a comic? It's kind of hard to read because you have to tilt it on its side, but you don't have no gutter margin. You know what I mean? You could see everything. Well, trades tend to have a gutter margin, and if you have to flip it on its side, it might be annoying because
Yeah,
it
you
won't flip.
cut off the
It might.
inside.
Well, you'd have to like bend it like really far out, and when you do that. That's when the glue things start to fuck
It could break your spine and
your
pages pop
spine,
out.
yeah. So, yeah.
Hopefully I get the singles then.
I hope you get the singles too, 'cause I gotta start conditioning you on these
You must be trained.
things. You can always read them as a trade.
That's true.
You can, like I did the next book that we talk about.
But then I gotta find the issues and make sure I have them all together.
Well, it's interesting because you said, "Let's do Roman Ritual," and I knew that you had read number two, and you said, "Let's do three and four," but I hadn't read number two. So I said, I'll go get them down from down in the basement and pull them out and read them back to back. And I was like, two, three, what? Four. It's not here. Fuck. And then I sent you a quick IM and I said, I could research this on my own. And I went on to eBay real quick because sometimes, even though Amigo's hard to find, sometimes there are sellers out there that specialize in these low print runs. In other words, they'll say like five available of Roman Ritual number four. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw number four available and I was like, oh, I got to buy it. It was the only one that was available. And I was like, I got to have it because I want a complete run of this because the book is really phenomenal. It is really, really good, especially if you like the horror genre. Harley's farting. Oh, my Lord.
She's providing ambiance for the podcast.
You go outside and you do what you need to do. But... God, I lost all train of thought. It was like getting into the gas. I hope I'm not shrinking like 4.5 inches. But what the fuck was I talking about?
So you went to eBay and found it.
Oh, yeah, I found it. And I ordered it. And then I was like, man, I really want to talk about this. Because I was like, well, Bill could tell me the end of it and I'll be okay. But then I read number two and I'm like, oh, fuck. This is awesome. This is fucking awesome. And then I read number three, and I was like, fuck. I got to know. And then I was like, God, please, Comixology, please have it. Because I didn't know if they had Amigo books, to tell you the truth. So I like went on Comixology, and I saw it. I saw Roman Ritual. I'll order it. So I was like, I could complete this story. Just have to do this one in digital, and then I have a print copy coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, That book is...
So how'd you miss it in the first place?
Because I was probably... I told you how I missed these things. I placed my order during DC Noise and fucking... I'll start laughing sometimes and fall off my chair and I forget what I was doing. It's like in a blur because I can't breathe because, you know, I have that laugh and I can't breathe. And then I get back on and I like all the oxygen wasn't going to my brain and I can't remember what I was doing last and I skipped Amigo and went on to Archie. Skipped
to the next line,
went to Archie or something. And that happens to me a lot. Like I'll forget a whole publisher if I'm not careful. And I don't usually go back. I usually trust my first instinct. And I really should check because now that I'm not doing variants and what have you is like, you know, I buy the bundles. Well, sometimes DCBS will fuck up and not put everything in the bundle.
I don't know if this is them fucking up or just they decide.
Well, I think it's
not to include something.
Not including it because they forgot, I think. Because they could easily put another and then 50% off. It's not like it's a special edition or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, for example, you could get Book of Death is in the 50% bundle. But they didn't have Book of – last month they had Book of Death Bloodshot in there, but they didn't – and this month they didn't have Book of Death XO. Every month they're doing like Book of Death, Ninjak, book, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they didn't have it. So I think it's a mess up because why would they have Book of Death Bloodshot in the previous month and Book of Death Ninjak and not Book of Death XO? There's no logic to it. Like, I know why Geomancer isn't in there, because it's a 1 in 25 or 1 in 10. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't put that one in those.
But they had done the same thing with the DC bundle the first month. Well, I, like, checked the bundle. And then I didn't realize, like, Cyborg that was solicited number one that month was not in the bundle. So I missed Cyborg because I thought it was in the bundle. And the next month, number two was in the bundle.
It wasn't in the bundle?
It wasn't in the bundle, no. Because it was solicited after the number ones. But then they realized it, I think, and they put it in the new titles on the number two. So then it was in the bundle. So, yeah, there's some weird stuff. And you got to be careful with those bundles. If you can't rely on – you have to click on it. Go in there and look at the titles and see if it's missing anything.
Well, I know, I believe the Vertigo bundle has all the number ones because there's only four of them. So.
Yes, but the thing that frustrated me with the new number one Vertigo bundle, that's fantastic. It's like, isn't it like 60%, 75% off?
Is that how
it's
much
like,
it is?
It's like awesome. Really high. You'd be fucking insane to not order this Vertigo bundle. You know what I mean? Because even if you like read four of them and you only like two, well, that'll tell you to buy the two trades if you're a trade raider, right? Or it'll tell you want to continue with the two, but the risk is very little if it's that much off. A matter of fact, I'll look, but I know it's really high.
Yeah, it is 75. I just looked.
Yeah. 75% off.
And also, there's a good chance that one of those books will be worth more than that in the future anyway.
Oh yeah, all you need to do is wait for option. Oh, this is being optioned by Paramount or something like that. We're going to be a TV show. And then you put it on eBay and sell it for four times that. Mm-hmm. So if you bought it for, you know, $3 or, well, in this case, 75% off cover, you're going to like triple or, you know, quadruple or even 10 times what you purchased it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're paying like $1 something for it.
Yeah. But anyway, Roman Ritual, god dang, that was a good book. He's from Spain, right? El Torres?
Yeah, he's from Spain.
Does he have a translator, or does he naturally write like that fluid in English?
He has a translator, because at the back of it,
yeah,
there's that little comic, Life of Assistant Editor.
Yeah,
I think that's the Sandra Molina. She does the translation.
Because it flows really well. A matter of fact, Barb laughed at me yesterday because I like will read out the Latin out loud. Mea culpa, la la, you know, like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was gonna say also the assistant editor. I believe she does the translation because I'm guessing he writes in a mixture, or maybe he just writes in all Spanish. But anyway, she also did the colors, which are awesome in this book.
Oh yeah, they're very. I thought
the colors really stood out.
And it the thing is, it has like a frightening tone to it. Like, I really like the tone. Like, it is kind of terrifying, especially when you see like the little girl and the nun. Like, those are fucking terrifying images, man. Like, even more so when you see the Pope possessed by the demon and he's, like, cussing at you and doing the demon spit and all this shit. And then you have that, like, nun just standing there. That's fucking creepy as all hell. I don't know.
Standing behind him, yeah.
Scares the hell out of me. Because religion kind of scares the hell out of me. You know, there's aspects of it that scare me.
Yeah, and this gets into some... I think the thing I like most about this is it was a really smart story.
Like, oh, very
it all
smart.
Made sense in term, and he's doing a, it's kind of looking at like the church and the church structure, and it gets into like the sexual crimes that have been committed and stuff.
Hidden by the church.
Right. They're hidden by the church and how that.
Because isn't that like how
introduces,
this all
yeah, introduces
started?
An evil
I mean, that's
seed.
The main thrust of it.
Right. And,
that,
yeah.
that girl is the main demon. I mean, it's manifested itself several layers, but that's the one demon that's behind it all.
Yeah, at the deepest level. But yeah, this was a wonderful book. Yeah, if you like horror, if you like... The Exorcist, obviously.
Or The Omen, or any of those weird possession
books.
This has definitely got a twist on it that's different. And the thing I like about it is this priest really is the hero. I mean, he's like you think he was excommunicated from the church at one point, but then you learn why. He banished himself, essentially.
Now, don't spoil why, but...
Yeah, but...
Because that's one of the... I did like that because that like gives an extra depth to him. There's something in his past that we don't know about.
Yeah, but you thought he might have done something bad, and he really didn't.
He has demons in his closet that are things in his life that happen that are really bothering him, keeping him from being happy, really.
And then you have that other twisted plot where you have that one guy trying to become Pope because the one Pope is possessed by the devil.
Right, he's using this as an opportunity.
As an opportunity, and he's twisted.
To step in.
He's evil. That guy's bad.
Yeah.
He's involved in a lot of this shit.
Mm-hmm. The cover-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so the story's awesome. And then I love the artwork by Jaime Martinez. Because it has, like, kind of a realistic style, but I don't know. The combination of the art and the coloring is just, like, awesome.
And then on top of that, one thing I really like the paper copy does is that when you turn the last page, you see like three actual cover images that are just as good as the cover. I mean, just as creepy. There's like cover images in the back of these things.
Oh, the
and they're awesome because they don't sell the alternate covers, but these covers are fucking awesome. Like they could be cover B, cover C. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're creepy as all hell.
Yeah, number two, the girl on the cross. It's like
that is scary as shit. And then you got all the flies coming out. Like, yeah. That is freaky as hell.
Yeah, they should have made that. Well, I don't know. The real cover is good, though, because it has the Pope John Paul on the cover.
Well, it actually, that is creepy in itself because, I mean, we could talk about the main premise. We already have. In issue one, the church calls upon this priest for help. There is one of the guys that's in the church that is a good guy, and he wants to call this guy because his mentor was one of the best exorcists they had.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come to the church. We need your help immediately. Well, he gets there and finds out it's because the Pope is possessed by a devil, and they need to exorcise the Pope. And that's when you get into all these there's at least three plot lines that all have to do with this story, and it's really well done. And then you have the media that they're like having to try to hide what's happening behind the church. Like,
right, they can't reveal that the Pope is not well.
The news and stuff, they want to know what's going on with the Pope. And they're like hiding it under he'll be available soon and all this stuff. And like if you go in there, like they send this old fucking priest that's like 95 in there to exorcise and the young priest is like, don't do this. He is not prepared to deal with this exorcism. This demon is not just one demon. There's a bunch of demons in there. Don't go in there. Well,
yeah, and they're like, well, he's the best. You know, he's done all these exorcisms. And he's like, yeah, but most of those weren't even real exorcisms. They were just people who were
mentally sick, mentally ill. Mentally challenged. And that's what was cool about this priest is he kind of knew the difference. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was a real deal. He was
it's like the real deal.
It's like Constantine or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really rewarding to read that comic. What a good payoff.
Yeah, I thought it paid off well at the end, too.
It threw in some more twists, and it wasn't predictable. Really good stuff.
And I think one of my favorite panels was the one where the Pope was in a chair upside down, like puking on the floor.
Oh God.
That was awesome. If I could have one page on my wall, it would be the upside down Pope spewing.
Yeah, that priest or the Pope when he talks has got some great lines. He's like, that little tremor on your finger, the fear behind your eyes, that filthy water in your pocket already sprinkle me if things begin to get nasty. Come here, ass kisser of Christ. Try to exorcise me. We have your biggest fish, haha, and even the fishermen. And once the secret is exposed, your entire church will crumble into pieces. We will shit on your altars using your cassocks to wipe our asses. I'm like... Fucking, that's creepy as shit, man. And he's sitting there with like a colostomy bag hooked up to him and a blood transfusion, and he just, he's creepy, man. That's crazy. Like never, and it's kind of cool because you learn about things like an extra. Like they go into the room and they're like, you don't, you have to, like the other priests that are supporting you, like say the rosary, right? To just focus because the rosary, saying the rosary will keep the demon in not such a good state, in a weakened state, while the main guy who exercises. But they send that one group in, and all those priests break down immediately, man. They just fall apart. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, the demon, like the rosary, like shatters and.
Yeah, it's like they, and that it's so funny because the one guy that's trying to become Pope doesn't even give a shit. He's like, I'm not gonna go in with you. You know, I'll be over here.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Let me know how it goes. Sends in this 95-year-old priest. I mean, Jesus, that's
And
insane.
I liked the back matter in each issue, because in one, El Torre's put in like pictures of when he went to Rome, and he was talking about how he like thought of the story and kind of created it. Another one, he was talking about how he shopped it around to the different publishers, but no one wanted it because it was too they thought it was too controversial. They didn't want to touch. They were afraid of the material.
I didn't
That's
even
why.
read the back matter because it was in the back cover, huh? It's
Yeah, he just
interesting.
does like
I'll have to read that.
a little blurb. Each of them is pretty interesting. There's another one. What was the There's another one that was.
I'm glad that he's doing his own thing. I know that they're probably not selling a lot. You know what I mean? Like in as far he might be doing great in Spain, right? But I'm glad that they're taking his books and translating them so we can read these things. You know, these are great stories.
Yeah, and that's one of the things he mentions when he's talking about shopping it around to the different publishers. He said none of them would take it because they well, I should just grab the try and find it and see what he actually said.
Which issue?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm looking. In one of them, he talks about how number one. He's apologizing because a lot of people were trying to get number one and two, but it's hard to get. And he said, you know, we're a small publisher and we can only print out, you know, we can't overprint a lot. So once we sell out, we're sold out. That's why he's like, see, if you want the issues, you got to pre-order them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find where it said. They're researching.
Kyle Pettit said, if I message you, will Bill's internet go down?
That is a distinct possibility. Okay, here we go. I sent the project to some publishers and it was rejected. Not their taste, or they were afraid it would hurt some sensibilities. I understand that, and that's why we have Amigo Comics, a little company with a lot of trouble that allows me to do these stories that no one else would release.
That's right. Well, you—I mean, just that little piece about the relig, you know, the getting possessed by the devil, the Pope, is probably controversial in itself. And then the way he talks, oh my God!
Yeah, having the Pope be so filthy.
Yeah, but it also deals with other issues like molestation and all kinds of stuff in the church and hiding it and stuff. It's pretty crazy.
It's a wonderful book. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, if you're into horror, then definitely pick that one up.
Yeah, it's up there in horror tiles.
Hopefully it'll be traded soon.
It is available on Comixology, though.
There you
It's like
go.
I even posted it, and Carlos said, "Is this on Comixology?" And I said, "Damn right, I looked it up.
I
I know it's there."
had to.
It's really good.
I agree. That was a good one. And then the next one I think coming out from them is that Straight Jacket, which I don't really know anything about.
Neither do I, but I.
I ordered it. I don't even know if I read what the concept was.
Well, there's. I don't even read the concept usually for Black Mask or Amigo. I just click it.
You
You
just
know,
read
that's how good
it.
it.
That's the Migo. Migo, I see that he wrote it, so I'm just like, all right, Ed.
Well, that's probably why you didn't get the Sydney one, because it wasn't El Torres. The Sydney Hammer.
I have no idea why.
But it wasn't El Torres.
I know, but it's got the sexy boob pockets. And there's like an ad for it, like in every issue of Roman Ritual.
Yeah, there is.
I'm like, son of a bitch, how did I miss this? There it is, sitting right there. I didn't even register. I still haven't gotten that. Hopefully I'll be getting it soon. I had to email them on that one.
On Sydney Hammer?
Yeah, on Sydney Hammer.
You try to do that through DCBS?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get it. Is it still in your... They said, okay, we'll add it.
Let me go see what the status is.
Sometimes they'll actually tell you, like, it's not available for reorder. Do you know what I mean? And then they
reordered it.
And the other thing that's interesting is what DCBS that I like that they're doing, but I'm not into variants anymore and stuff like that. But I like that I was getting frustrated because usually with second prints, you can't find what's going into second prints. But now what they're doing is they're emailing you, like, if you were interested in this, well, the second print of it's coming out, or it's solicited this month.
Yeah, they have done a lot of second printings.
Yes. Oh, no,
my Sydney Hammer is still ordered. It's not showing up as being in stock yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney! But I'm guessing by the fact that Amigo's putting ads for it in their books, that must mean it's still available from them. Because otherwise, why would they advertise it?
The other two. I'm talking breakfast with Barb.
What'd you order?
Well, I ordered something, but we have no bacon, so I'm going to have to go with potatoes and egg.
But don't you think, if they're putting a full-page ad in each issue of Roman Ritual, then it must be still available from them? Because they know that... Well, they got to know that it's not going to be sitting on the shelf of most shops for people to, like, pick up.
Well, let's go to old eBay. This is where you should have gone. You should learn from me. I put Roman Ritual. Sydney Hammer Amigo Comics. Yeah, there's one available for $5.60.
I'll be able to get it. DCBS will come through.
And see, this is the same place. No, he's got like three available, one sold. So it's like there's only 10 hours left on it. But this is eBay is probably the best place if you missed an Amigo title to try. You might luck out.
Oh, Amigo has a little preview for Straight Jacket on their website. Ooh, that cover looks awesome. That's freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the concept. Enter into the world of Alexandra Wagner. She murdered her brother when she was a child. She's institutionalized and believes she's protected. Oh, she has protected our world against the outer darkness with the help of her brother on the other side. So it's another horror book. Yay!
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with Amigo. Another book that I read that is pretty cool is the... You probably didn't order number two, but I'll ask this before I say anything about it. But it's The Disciples. That was the sci-fi one from Black Mask.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm going to get the trade of that.
Or you think you are. See?
I think I'm planning on getting the trade. Black Mask does trades. Sometimes. That's Niles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be traded. He's a big name.
I don't know. Maybe it won't. And then I'll sit here and laugh. I'll do the evil laugh.
You say to go to eBay and pay three times as much as you could have got it for.
On DCBS, yeah, but that Sydney Hammer was an expensive one because of the cover stock, and it was an extra, it was a large book. It was a $5.99 book, the cover price. So on eBay, it was five something, so it's cover price. I have never seen the Amigo books high on eBay. Like, you know how much I paid for, I mean, yeah, you have to pay shipping, so you're kind of fucked, right? But the Roman Ritual number 4, I got for $2 plus like three something shipping, so wasn't bad.
No, that's awesome. Should be twice that. Three times. Should be six times that.
Yeah, they should option that movie. I think that, like, is New Line of Cinema still around, or some of those horror movies, they could do this for low budget and just get some really good quality B actors to pull it off and have minor special effects, because you don't need too much, because the horror is all in the acting. I mean, yeah, there's some climactic scenes at the end. And then when the priest go into the room with that
Yeah, you got
old priest, you're gonna have
the
to, yeah, you're gonna have to show that. But all the other stuff, it could be a really good movie. Like, it would be really interesting to see that on film.
blood. Yeah, it would make a good movie.
If I was rich, like filthy rich, I would produce that film. I'd say, let's do it, and let's do it exactly like the comic book, because the
Let's
comic's
go.
perfect.
Let's
Why?
go.
Why? That's our script right there. Let's do it. We don't need to change anything. We have to add some more dialogue, and that's when I bring in Mr. Bomer, to write some more dialogue. All the filthy dialogue with dicks and stuff he can write.
Needs more dicks. That'll be your line. That's your notes. He only gave one note. He said he wants more dicks. I'm on it.
Yeah, throw in some more cocksuckers in That was good. So there was a good batch of books, and then you picked the other one you said you'd read, which I didn't plan. This is an interesting one. And is a run oh, no, not Run, Love, Kill. I had that in my head. But it kind of relates to it. Jupiter's Legacy.
Yes,
And
Jupiter's Legacy.
this is where the payoff of trade rating, I think, worked.
Oh, reading
Because
it all at
from
once.
what I understood, I read it all at once too, but I had the singles, but it is that 1, 2, and 3 came out, and then almost like many, 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 many months later, four
On
and
number
five
four.
came out.
Yeah.
Big distance. A matter of fact, I forgot about five and didn't order it, but I was able to pick it up at my shop at the time, that it came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, how could I say that? It's kind of like a Mark Millar's Watchmen. It reminded me of Watchmen, especially the first three issues, because the first three issues are dense. There is a lot of dialogue in there. There's a lot to read and a lot of setup. But it was really well done, and Frank Quietly on art did a damn good job.
Yeah, as always.
He does a good job. I like when he works with him. Those two work good together, Millar and
Yeah,
Quietly.
so this is.
And he usually works with Morrison, Grant Morrison,
Yeah, he does a
Quietly.
lot with him. Yeah, he's able to get. He gets the good gigs.
Yeah.
He can pick and choose, I think. Yeah, so this is yeah, so it is kind of I guess like Watchmen because it's about like people with superpowers and what they do with them and corruption and things like that and what's right and the blurry line between good and wrong and right, I guess. And how much authority people with powers should have. Like, just because you have powers, does that mean you can make decisions for people?
Yeah.
So it start. I like the way. So it starts out. The one thing I wasn't expecting in this is all the time jumps.
I liked it though.
It was awesome, but it was like when I got to them, it's like, whoa! Like suddenly we're like 10 years in the future.
Yeah. Well, you know what was weird is I went to my box and I said, well, Bill's going to read the whole trade. I don't think I have time to read the whole trade, so I'll just read the first one. I coincidentally picked up number one, giant size. Well, number one, giant size is almost like a trade. It has all three issues in it. So I was like, God damn, this book is thick. You know, it is thick. It's not a trade. It's actually a comic book. They released.
I didn't even know that there was such a thing as that.
Well, there was such a big gap between.
Oh, so they re-released it?
That they re-released the first three issues as a big giant size and put a low price tag on it, which is awesome. Well, I picked that up and I was like reading it. And I was like, man, this book is dense. It's going to take me forever to finish this one story. And I finished it, and it was like growing on me. At first, I was like, man, this is so dense, and it's weird. It's like they're going to find this island, and the island is something going on. Like this guy kept having visions. And But then when it gets to the present, and you're like, okay, well, these are these guys that got powers. And they're like older and they have kids now, like they have a legacy and their kids aren't all that they turned out to be. And
yeah. So that's the original, the first premise is that when they were like in their 20s, these two brothers, I guess, and some of their friends went to this island because the one brother was having visions about it and they ended up getting superpowers. And then we jump, I don't know, what, like 50 years into the future and now they're old. And we see, like, and yeah, like you said, now they have kids, and their kids are 20 somethings who are disaffected and don't really care, and just kind of use the fact that they have powers as ways to party and get money, basically.
Yeah, they just want to have fun. They don't, in the media. Yeah.
Basically, their father and uncle are the superheroes, and they're just kind of like, whatever, we don't care.
And the mom, too. The mom married one of the brothers, the main brother that had the visions of the island. Mm-hmm. And he had two kids. He had one girl who's doing drugs and all kinds of other stuff. She's actually having a sexual relationship with a son of a villain, which is very interesting. And then the other brother hates his father so much. The son hates his father so much. Because he's always scolding him in front of others, and
it looks down.
They don't have the same beliefs. Well, the uncle takes advantage of that because the one utopian. Yeah,
don't spoil what happens though.
It's fucking old. What are you, like Luke Foster now?
I'm looking. Luke probably hasn't read it yet, so.
God damn it.
Okay, you can spoil it. Spoilers.
Well, I wasn't going to spoil it. I'm just saying that the brother, well, I guess it is a spoiler. The brother kind of turns on the other brother.
One. Yeah.
But I also liked the way it ended. I thought it was really cool because I liked the betrayal scene. It reminded me of like Star Wars, like when all the droids and stuff turn on the Jedi. When they get the order, the executive order, it reminded me of that. Like all the heroes that were the utopian's friend turn on him, and the mother, and
And then when they do the second time jump, I was like, dang, another time jump forward.
Which one was that time jump? Oh, the one that was many, many, many years later.
Yeah.
When they escaped to Australia.
Yeah, with the daughter.
Yeah. The son, I thought.
Yeah.
Was that a daughter?
Well, the mother's the daughter.
Oh, I thought you meant the little boy.
Yeah, and the boy. Yeah, it was great. I loved this. This was blew me away. I was like, dang. Now I'm looking forward to Jupiter's Circle, which is the follow-up series.
Yeah.
Which is going right now.
I don't think it's a follow-up. I think it's a prequel.
Oh, prequel. Yeah, prequel.
Because I think what happens is he's going to do the sequel to this with the Quietly again.
Okay.
And this is like an interim artist, and they're telling some of the backstory.
Well, that was the one interesting thing. So he's kind of like set up this world and kind of jumped through, like, I don't know, from the start to the end, it's probably like 60 years or something, right?
Yeah.
But because he did those time jumps, he can now go in and kind of fill in those gaps, which I think is Jupiter Circle is probably that first. So in between when they get their powers and then when they're old, he has that whole time span where he can tell stories.
Yeah.
Of them when they first got their powers and how they kind of rose to be heroes.
It reminded me so much of Watchmen, because in Watchmen too, you had the legacies,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the heroes.
Yeah, the older heroes. And
yeah.
That.
Just the way the story was told reminded me of Watchmen, except it seemed like really detailed up front, like, the first three issues were dense, and then the last two were just
more action
and light. It was like a different tone, and they came after, you know, way late on the series, but it was a good series. It was definitely good to read it the way we did, or else we would have been like at issue three. Like, what this reminded me of is I just read Run, Love, Kill number four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying that one. You know, it's post-apocalyptic. This girl trying to escape this city that kind of built a dome over itself, and it gets into the backstory. But at the back of it, in the back matter, the guy said that they're taking a hiatus, so we're not going to see five and six for a long, long time. So it's almost like Jupiter's Legacy, where you're into the story, you know, and then you don't see it again for a while.
Right. You don't know if it's going to. But in Epic Kill, I assume they wrapped up. Well, I guess in this one, they kind of wrapped up the.
Yeah, you could read one.
A storyline.
You could
at the
read
end of three.
One through three and kind of be okay, because they wrap up.
Yeah, but you want to know what happens next, though.
Well, you do, even on the next arc, because it ends in another, like, story arc. Like, hey, we still have to tell this story.
Yeah.
Well, they showed the flashbacks, and then they showed that one fucker with the mustache, and I don't even know their names. The only name they really mention over and over again is Utopian.
Mm-hmm.
The other names are kind of like, they show up, but they're very, so you don't really get to know the names of all these characters.
Yeah, chapter four is, though, when the second time jump, because that's when the kid's around now.
I dug that, though, with the growing girl, the girl that could grow, how they were trying to find all the people with powers.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to collect the people with powers.
Yeah, I dug that, because that one asshole goes and interviews her and says, well, that's a good answer. Well, that's a good answer. You know, like, excuses on why she's not spending money on food and not doing this. Like,
right, how they found her. Yeah.
Yeah, we think you have powers. And he asks her a bunch of questions, and she answers them all legitimately. And then he's like, well, why are you still standing when I've just gassed the whole fucking building? You're the only one standing.
And she's like, oh, shit.
She's like, oh, motherfucker. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, so I only planned on reading issue one, because I didn't think I'd read the whole thing.
Right.
But it was weird, because I didn't even snap that one was. I just thought they made
an
extra sized edition. Do you know what I mean? I just grabbed the first issue I had in my box.
So right, you just thought it was a big number one.
I'll at least read number one, so I can talk about it, and then just let Bill finish it. And by the time I read the others, I want to remember anyway. So I was like, I'll just read number one. Well, I read one through three, and I thought it was just issue one, and I was like, God damn, these are good. And I flipped it over to the back cover, and it says, this is giant size. It covers issues one through three. And then I was like, well, I got to find out what happened, because – issue three ended on like a really, even though there's a time jump, there's like a big cliffhanger there because that's where the betrayal. That's where like.
Oh, that was like, that was an awesome climax of that last issue.
It's an awesome betrayal.
When I read that, and that one scene, it's just like, holy shit.
Well, there's two scenes. There's one with the Utopian, then one with his wife.
Yeah.
They're brutal, and I hate that fucking brother, the one brother that could – I hate that power where he, like, takes them into his mind while their body is getting fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So they don't, you don't even know that
you're bleeding to death or you're going to die. You don't even know. You can't fight back. You think you're talking to this guy when you're really, your body's being plummeted. That's just weird.
Yeah, that's an awesome ability.
But it was like, it was like Magneto. It was kind of like Magneto and Charles Xavier because the brother couldn't use his powers on the Utopian. Did you notice he said it a couple times? That's when he went to go get help from the sun.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Because he couldn't beat his brother. It is interesting, though, because, like, if you and I, like, went to a bar or something and some dude was giving us trouble, then I'd be like, let me talk to you for a second, dude. And then I could, like, take his mind and take him outside. Meanwhile, in the bar, you can beat the shit out of him.
I'll just keep kicking him in the nuts over and over and over again. And you're like,
I'll be like, it's pretty nice out here, isn't it? He's like, yeah.
What's the weather like?
Well, you know what's going on inside the bar? My friend is kicking in the balls over and over again.
You're not going to have any balls left.
Yeah, I hope you weren't planning on having kids anytime soon.
He just plummeted your ball sack.
You don't have any balls anymore. Your balls are on the floor.
They're detached. You are not going to be able to walk.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to send you back now. Get ready for some pain.
There you go. That was good. It captured my attention. I was kind of reading issue one kind of half-assed because we had Remember the Titans on the TV, and I love that movie. So I was like getting – like, you know, when you're reading and you get caught up, and even though you've seen a movie a gazillion times, there are certain scenes that will take you back into the movie, and I was like getting involved in the movie. And then I started – reading issue two, I think it was, and then I started getting like, this is fucking like Watchmen-esque. And then as I kept reading, I'm like, I'm hooked, and I wasn't even hearing the TV anymore.
Blocked it out.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, good stuff from Mr. Miller. And I read one that you didn't have, which I'm not sure why. Why didn't you order this one? Aliens versus Zombies from Xenoscope.
I don't know why. I guess I didn't want to.
I guess you stick with the more grim fairy tales stuff, don't you?
Well, I get the horror one, the Tales of Horror. So,
Tales of Terror, yeah.
I guess I don't like my zombies mixed with aliens. I don't know.
Maybe you're just sick of burnt out on zombies.
No, I can never be burned out on zombies. I probably just said I've been trying to keep Xenoscope to like three titles or no more, you know?
So you're filled up on
Xenoscope
for the month.
Well, I get the main title for sure, and then I get Tales of Terror, and then it's the third title is usually whatever, like Little Mermaid or something else.
Yeah, they have Coven. You probably got Coven instead.
I did order the Coven. I finished Little Mermaid though, and I thought that book was really good.
Oh, did you like it?
I really liked it.
I wasn't too impressed with the first issue.
I really liked the first issue, so the rest of them, I think, flowed really well. Yeah.
So this one is Aliens vs. Zombies, number one, written by the dudes who run Zenoscope, Joe Brucia and Ralph Tedesco. They're the guy, two guys. Oh, I guess, well, that's a story by, written by Joe Brucia. And those are the two dudes who started Zenoscope. Art by Vincenzo Riccardi.
Nice accent.
Thank you. I practiced it. That's because I spent time in Italy.
Little Italy in Canada?
No, I spent some time in Milano.
There you go. Say something in Italian. Like, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Buongiorno.
So that's what you say when you need to go to the bathroom? Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Mucho pipi.
Okay. I believe you now.
Mucho grande poopoos.
There you go.
Buongiorno.
Well, our listeners get to learn Italian at the same time. Our podcast is an educational.
Educational tag, yeah.
Next to the explicit.
Explicit educational. Pound explicit, pound
educational. Educational. Oh, you taught people Latin from Roman ritual. Now you're doing Italian.
Yes, we were multilingual. So, Aliens versus Zombies. That one went kind of like a Borat way. You're like, go to zombies. So, this is about... in this world, these pods arrived on Earth. Or actually, it was a meteor. A meteor arrived and it broke open. And inside of this meteor was the zombie virus. So it spread to the people who first found the meteor and then spread on from there to the point where the story kind of starts off where most of the world is taken over by zombies. But they only spend about like the first three pages kind of setting all that up. And then they jump to... two things. So one, the U.S. government is trying to figure out what to do about the zombie apocalypse, and they decide the best thing to do is just to pretty much nuke the planet or the country and destroy all the zombies. At the same time, there's this alien vessel out in space, and you meet the members of the crew. They're aliens of various races. Or different races from different planets. And they have been tracking this zombie virus. And what they do is they go to any planet that's been infected and try to cure it. Because they know how to stop the zombie virus. So they detect that Earth has been infected. So they make a beeline for Earth. And they arrive and find that the planet has been taken over, so they launch all these little pods they have, the purge spheres, they call them. They launch those to cure the zombie virus on the planet. Well, at the same time, the government ship that has the weapons to blow up whatever they're going to blow up, one of the guys on the ship has been infected by the zombie virus and they didn't know about it. So he starts attacking everyone on the ship and the ship crashes into the alien ship. So now the aliens are trying to... So now that they don't have the... And they weren't able to activate their pods to purge the zombie virus. So now these aliens are stuck on our planet trying to help us to eliminate the zombie plague. So I liked it. I thought it was really well told. I liked the combination between the zombie stuff and the sci-fi. And I like that it kind of focused more on the sci-fi side of it and the members of this alien vessel. It was good. And the art was actually really good, too. I really liked the art a lot.
So you'd recommend it.
I do. I recommend this. That gets a thumbs up for me. I will be getting the trade of that. Recommended. And I was not expecting to recommend it. Because I feel when Zenoscope, it's like always always taking a chance. It could either be good or it could be not as good. I know you tend to like their stuff more.
Yeah.
You're on the more positive side. But this is really good. I liked it. I like the alien crew. They're cool.
Cool. Well, we read what? Did you end up reading Secret Identities?
I did read Secret Identities.
What did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of handling a huge cast of characters.
Had you read this before?
No.
Okay.
I just read number one. I didn't read the rest of them.
Yeah, I just read number one. Yeah, this was from February. Yeah, I didn't know if you had. I figured you'd probably read it already.
Well, I usually buy Jay Faber stuff.
Yeah, his stuff.
I like his stuff. He was a co-writer on this with somebody else.
Yeah, Brian Jones.
And they kind of throw you into a big action scene, kind of. I mean, the flow of the story is introduce these characters through big action and a fight scene,
mm-hmm.
and then break down each character into their own story.
Yeah, find their backstories.
Yeah, and then put the twist in them. Their twist in there about like what leads them to, or they're adding a new character to the roster.
Right.
And he's got some ill intent.
Right.
But a lot of them seem like they got something to hide. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all the characters have something going on the side.
Yeah.
Like, I think, when they break it down to, like, each of their individual stories, all of them have something going on in their past that they're kind of either hiding or that's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that one character who was like the comedian, I didn't realize that was a girl, like when she was fighting.
I actually didn't notice until it was towards the end. She looks like a tomboy. I thought initially in the first few pages, I thought it was a man.
Yeah. No, she's definitely.
And then as the story progressed, I was like, this is a woman. She's the one that is kind of like the wit of the group. Like, makes the Spider-Man banter.
Yeah, she was all the witty banter during the fight.
Yeah. The pulp references, like pop culture references, which I like. And nobody seems to get. One of them's the president's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the one guy that's like volcanic.
Yeah, the lava guy.
It looks like he's got some weird backstory that he wants nobody to find out about, because that one scientist invited him over to like the Museum of Natural History and says, look, I found all this stuff. We could find out about you.
Yeah, find out where he came from.
That looked like ill intent to me.
I was thinking he was intentionally did that.
Yeah. I know, yeah, intentionally he did it.
Yeah.
And then you have the one guy that is like the dark, mysterious one, that he's the only one that didn't vote for the one guy to join a team.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else voted yes.
He abstained,
yeah. That guy looks like he reminds me of Lockup, one of the Batman villains, where he had all the bad people locked in his cellar, and he like feeds off of them like a vampire or something. He's got something going on.
Was he the one with the basement?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was him. And then you have the Speedster, which I don't know what his total backstory is. He seems legit. And the comedian girl. Well, then
you, no, he's a dick.
Why? Because he lied to his wife and daughter, or?
Yeah, because he has two families.
Oh, did he have two families?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was with his family at dinner. He said, "I got to go on a business trip," and then he went to like his other family's like rehearsal.
I did not get that.
I think it's because he's fast, so he has like families on either side of the country, and he just.
Oh
goes back
wow!
To
so he's got two families. So. None of these characters are okay except for maybe the comedian. Even the daughter of the president has ill intent because this is like a Canadian super team.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like working undercover even though she doesn't want to.
Yeah, reporting back to.
So it kind of fits how America. They're being infiltrated when they're all not.
All duplicitous.
Yeah, they're not all honest people. They're all they all have something to hide.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I thought it was well told.
Mm-hmm.
And the trade for that is solicited this month, so I'll pick that up. I'm interested in seeing where this goes. I thought there was enough there to hook me.
Yeah.
And I like stories where there's like a bunch of different. Characters and I always like protagonists with the dark things in their past or hidden agendas.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I guess the concept kind of and the title is, you know, secret identities isn't it's that they have, you know. They're superheroes, so they have secret identities, but then they also have secrets that they're keeping from one another. Secret identities even further, even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to see how that comes to pass, comes out in the open.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It wasn't my favorite, but like the 5 out of 5s this week were Shadow Man Volume 3 and Volume 4, Gravedigger Number 1, Roman Ritual 2 through 4, and Jupiter's Legacy. They were all really good. The other one that I wanna point out that I really, really enjoyed is The Spirit from Dynamite Comics.
Okay.
The covers are, I mean, just worth the cost of admission for me alone, but I think the guy that they got as an artist is doing a really good job on the Spirit, even though the Spirit's not in it. That's where I hear some of the complaints is the whole story arc has to do with like the Spirit is dead, and it's like a mystery of is the Spirit dead, you know, or you know what's going on. So you'll know if you read Old Spirit that they had a racial character called Ebony White. It was a controversial character. Well, in this one, they treat Ebony White with a lot more respect as he's in a detective agency and he's working with a friend that's trying to figure out what happened to him. But you have his love interest and, you know, the commissioner's Doolin's daughter and Doolin, and he's getting ready to retire, and there's another commissioner coming in to take his place. But it's really a good story. I really liked it. I read issues 1 and 2, and I thought, man, this is really good. I enjoyed it. I've only read limited Spirit. Like, I've read maybe a couple of the original stories, the Eisner stories, maybe two, mm-hmm. not a lot. And then I read the DC Comics version of the Spirit when he came out when they were doing all the pulp characters. Yeah. And now this one, I really dig what they're doing.
Who's writing this one?
This one is Matt Wagner. So he's
okay. He does a lot for them.
Well, he does a lot for them, and he does a really good job. Like, he's really thorough. He's a good storyteller. And The artist is Dan Shakade. Shakade. And
Okay.
he's really competent and good, and he draws in a kind of a cartoony style. Like, there's one villain that they introduce. Man, I can't remember the name of him. He wears like purple and he carries this vulture around with him. And he's like fascinating. He's like kidnapped a woman and he's living in her apartment, and Ebony White and this other detective take him down, and trying to find out who the spirit is. And he was an interesting villain, I'll tell you that. The one thing I like about the spirit villains is they kind of remind me of like Dick Tracy villains, you know? They're just off the wall bad guys. And it's really cool. I enjoyed that. The other number one that I read, well, I read The Spirit number one, and I read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Casey and April.
Okay.
That was an interesting story, but it's kind of all just set up. These are by writers that I know nothing of. Mariko Tamaki is the storyteller, and the art is Irene Koh. The art is kind of manga style, I guess. It's close to it, which isn't my favorite, but it's borderline, so it's good for me. And it just starts on Casey and April going on a mission while the turtles are on another mission. And they end up in this town, and there's some demon that's kind of leading them on. So it was a pretty good first issue. And then I finally read Thor number one, and that was really good.
Yeah, the one by the Turtles one, I haven't read it yet. Which Tamaki is it? Mariko or?
Mariko Tamaki.
Okay, Mariko. Yeah, she did a couple books with her sister, Jillian, this one summer, which I have read, and Skim, which I haven't. Her sister does Super Mutant Academy. Her sister's becoming like a bigger name.
Oh. But
yeah, so they've done indies. They're more in on the indie side. Like, I think like Fantagraphics, or I can't remember.
Okay.
Or for second or something publishes.
That makes sense why I haven't heard of them then, because I usually don't get stuff from them.
Yeah. But yeah, I have that. I was going to try and read it, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I only picked this up recently because I got into Ninja Turtles again with, I guess, the death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading all those regular, and I've been enjoying Ninja Turtles. And then I said, this one I saw in Hastings and had a Brent Peebles cover. I got the Hastings yeah. exclusive. And then I read it, and the rest of them I ordered from DCBS. So I have issue two, and I think three and four are going to be coming soon. And then I finally read the female Thor. I bailed on this one,
mm-hmm.
and it was a long journey because I guess the guy I bought it from on eBay, his wife was in the hospital, so it took forever to get this book. And I had gotten like 2 through 8 in the. I already know who the Thor is. This is like a mystery of the female Thor.
Hey, don't tell me because I don't know yet.
Well, if you read Thor's number one, you know. Well, I guess you kind of do, but you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think I know, but I don't know for sure.
Well, I'm taking the journey, even though I know what the result is,
yeah.
And it's a really like Jason Aaron is really good at developing this mystery. But like, there was that Jason Aaron event where they took the eyes of the Watcher and killed the Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads out of that event because Thor's hammer, he could no longer pick it up. And it kind of
right,
leads
as a result.
To, yeah, he's kind of like, he's devastated because he's like, if you had this your whole life and you can no longer lift it.
He's not worthy.
He's not worthy anymore. And even Odin tries to lift the hammer and he can't. You know, nobody can lift the hammer until the female Thor gets it at the end of the book and lifts it. But I enjoyed Thor number one a lot. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I read that. I liked it too.
I'm glad I got it. And another number one I got, this is turning into the number one show, is
How unusual.
1872, number one, from Marvel Comics. This was a Western take on all of the Marvel icons, like Parker Homestead. They have a homestead, and Wilson has a farm, and you know all these names. And it starts with Red Wolf, who's a Western character that they brought into the Avengers. He was introduced again in the Avengers. I actually own all the Red Wolf appearances, ironically enough, but. He actually blew up a dam that was had to do with the Kingpin, or Fisk got really pissed and sent a bunch of guys. One guy looks like Crossbones, and a lot of these guys probably look familiar if they're Cap villains. But they sent to lynch him. And Steve Rogers is the sheriff and manages to save him. And Wilson Fisk is so pissed off at Steve Rogers right now because he won't let him out of his jail and he wants him to be hanged. And they introduce Bruce Banner, and Tony Stark's a drunk in the bar with all kinds of, like, he's still, you know, a futurist, a technologist. And it is a cool Western story. I dug it. And at the end of it, they bring and it's cool. They have that reporter that always works for the Daily Planet. What is his name? He's always in Daredevil. I can't think of his name. It's going to piss me off. But he's the main, like, storyteller, and he has to falsify the news or Kingpin will go after him and his family. And Roxxon is in there. Roxxon Industries, you'll remember them. They're like a guy. They used to appear in Namor and a couple other things. They were like an oil refinery. But they introduced Blue Devil. I mean, not Blue Devil. Bullseye at the end of it. And it looks like a Western Doc Ock along with Grizzly. And it looks like it might be an Elektra at the end of it. It's pretty cool. This and the art was really good. The artist was Nick Varela, and the writer was Jerry Duggan.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've been reading Star Trek. I got back into this series with Green Lantern Star Trek, and I read three issues back to back, and I'm really enjoying it. It's the movie version of the Star Trek characters, the new version. And I read some cool stories about that.
Yeah, I was wondering how that was.
The Green Lantern one's amazing. It actually made me wanted to go buy these Star Trek books.
I think I have that. I think I ordered it. I don't feel like looking it up.
Yep, that's all I had.
You want to jump to movies? Do you see any exceptional movies?
We watched The Gift. That was yesterday. That's the story with Jason Bateman and his wife move into a new house, and he has a new job, and he gets an old classmate called Gordo. His name is Gordon, but they call him Gordo. Becomes obsessive compulsive with the family and starts inviting himself over and all kinds of intrigue. And I don't want to give away the plot, but it's one of those things that has a lot of twists and turns. When you don't know, like, if you watch the preview, it makes you think it's
the gonna standard go one way.
Vengeance yeah. movie, but it's got a lot of plot twists in it.
You see that in the theater?
Yeah, it's on the theater right now. It's okay. We saw it yesterday. It's not a feel good movie, I'll tell you that. But I enjoyed
But you
it.
recommend it?
Enjoyed it, yeah. I think that was the only movie that we watched. Oh, we saw Fantastic Four last week.
That piece of garbage? Obviously.
No,
I haven't seen
I thought it
it.
was pretty good. I thought the first half of the movie, like when they introduced the kids and they introduced the think tank and stuff, it was very much like the Ultimate FF. Like it was done really, really well. I especially liked the actors that played like Ben Grimm and Reed Richards. Like they did a really, really good job. And then the movie started to like lose focus once they lost their powers, or when they got their powers. When they initially got them, it was like really fascinating because they like went to I'll say the negative zone, you know, and that's how they got their powers. And then it kind of just turns into like a battle scene and stuff like that, and it's kind of not as good. So it went from like in my mind an A, the first half of the movie, to like a C or C plus, and probably averaged out to like a B minus, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of in line with some of the reviews I've seen where they said it starts out really good and the first
Oh, it is really
is
good.
really good.
If they would have kept it like at that, like
That level, yeah.
the guy who played Victor Von Doom too, like the actor, like I don't think he was as good when he became like Doom, you know, in the suit and stuff like that. But prior to like, you know, when he was working in the think tank, all of the characters were interesting, even the Human Torch. You know, all of them, because in this one the Human Torch is not stupid. He's just kind of like a rebel, and his father adopted Sue Storm, and she's always been the one that's really, really smart. Like she recognizes patterns and all this stuff. And Johnny Storm is kind of jealous, I think, of his sister, and he likes to do stuff and his father that his father doesn't approve of. So he's kind of like the rebel one. Well, he's incredible. Yeah, he uses it for other things, like he drag races his car and stuff like that. Like he had an awesome car. He's like he went in a race and he got like a late start, but he had all this like technology in his car where he just like passed the other guy with no problem. And he ends up crashing his car, and that's what he wants his car back. His father says, "Well, you have to come work at the think tank for a while to get your car back." And that's what he ends up doing. But I love the way the young actor, well, there's two scenes in there. There's the really young actors, like when they're kids, like they're like 7 or 8, and then there's the older actors, and they both really do a good job, like when they're prior to their powers, you know, they do a fantastic job of developing the relationship between like Ben Grimm and Reed Richards. Like it's really good. And the guy who plays Ben is just awesome because you see like the loyalty to Reed and stuff like that. And he's real subtle and quiet, you know, where Reed is the more talkative one. I absolutely loved it. Like I love that part of it.
So they had the setup nailed down, huh?
Well, it's got a lot of controversy, and it wasn't horrible. Like I didn't like watch the second half of the movie and hate it. It was just like a climactic battle in the negative zone, and I think it would have been better if like if they had the battle in New York City, like it came back and like Doom brought like Annihilus or Blastar from the negative zone or something, you know, and they had like this big New York battle rather than it doing what it did in the negative zone. But the negative zone was pretty cool, like how they got there and how they got their powers. That part was awesome. So yeah, I think it's worth watching, even if you.
Yeah, I'll wait for the DVD, I think, for it, but I do want to see it. I'm sick of all the stories about it, but
Well, I'm sick of all the negativity because it's more about negativity and people haven't even watched it.
yeah, I'm sick
It's
of
like
all the
one thing
controversy and stuff.
to go watch it and not like it, than to like shit on the movie and not even have watched it. I hate when people do that.
I hate when people are like happy that it's bad.
Yeah. I have friends on Facebook that are happy that it's bad and not going seeing it because they want Marvel to take over. That bugs the shit out of me. I'll be honest with you. It really irritates me. It makes me want to quit social media at times. All the negativity, it just I'm getting pretty good about finding the people that I really want to follow and focusing on them and ignoring the rest. I'm getting really good on Twitter. It's like I only have like
you have a pared down.
I follow over 1,000 people. I only really follow by list like 50 or 40, mm-hmm. and that's right. it. And I change that list. If somebody gets on my shit list or they start doing like negative stuff and I don't want to hear
it. Remove them from the list.
You're off the list. It's kind of like on Seinfeld where she had that the list of phone numbers and you had to try to get on the – be on position one.
Jockey for position.
People start dropping off the list and being replaced by other people. But like I like following people like Aaron Myers and stuff like that and –
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like I want to see what people are into and excited about.
Rather than people shit on stuff over and over again. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to go on to there's enough crap in life, you know, related to other stuff that's real, right? Than to have to worry about your entertainment.
Yeah, arguing about the ownership of or whose fault it is that the movie didn't turn out good if it's the actor or the director, why it sucks, why it was
trying to kill a grasshopper that got in the house.
Why don't you just let it outside?
I live outside.
No, why don't you let it outside?
I'm trying to.
What, do you live outside?
This fucker keeps jumping.
Won't Harley go after it?
I don't think so. She's pretty. She doesn't go after much.
Yeah.
She's a real passive dog.
He's like, whatever.
She'll be in the yard. There'll be like 5 rabbits around her. She didn't give a fuck. The birds will be shitting on her. She doesn't care.
Sit on her head.
Yeah, like... sit on her head. But yeah, those movies I enjoyed quite a bit. I was pissed off last week with all the posts. I was getting angry. I had reverse, like... I had like fanboy hatred. Like I just wanted to say, like, we recorded a DC Noise episode I haven't released yet, but I was like, fuck you guys. I was like, I hate you.
You're turning on the fanboys?
I was so angry. Yeah, I was like so angry at fanboys. Yeah. And I hate when people shit on make generalizations and they know nothing about. Like I know comics. I read all of them. And I can tell when people just make some stupid ass statement and don't know nothing about it. They make a generalization. Yeah, but that's my bitching and whining for Geek Brunch. There's plenty more on DC Noise. Me and Daryl just cut loose because Keith wasn't there. Keith wouldn't have given a fuck. He would have said, I didn't watch Fantastic Four. I don't care.
So you talk about it for a while.
He would have been quiet and drinking beer in the background.
Waiting for you to finish.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a movie, which is actually on Netflix now. Nightcrawler.
Ooh, we saw that.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, that guy was an asshole.
Yeah, so that's the one. I actually didn't know what it was about before I saw it. Mm-hmm. Like, I intentionally didn't really pay attention to what it was about. I thought it was more like a crime thriller, which I guess in a sense it is, but it's more crime thriller in a roundabout way. So it's about this dude who is going through life and can't really find his niche in life. And he's a sociopath. He basically doesn't care about anyone else. He only cares about what he wants. And he seems to have some kind of mental problem where, just in his vocal patterns, because he's very direct about things.
Yeah, he's definitely got a problem. That's for sure.
Things are going to be this way. This is how things are going to be.
It works. Things that work that work in a normal person's brain, he doesn't think about. Like, they're not important to him.
He only cares about what he wants.
Yeah, but he's also like an emotional, detached character.
Yeah, he's very detached from. Yeah, emotionally, he doesn't have any emotions. I don't think. No, he definitely doesn't have any emotions except for anger. So he finds out that there's these people who go around filming accidents and then selling their footage to the news. So he decides to go down that line of work, and he's successful in that line of work. But it was good. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was amazing in this movie. And I watched like the special features, and he actually lost, I think, 20 pounds for the role to get his face to look.
Yeah, now he's in he's in that boxing movie, Southpaw.
Yeah.
And he's like built like Bulked a tank. Yeah.
Yeah, but in this one, he's like, his face is all gaunt and his eyes are kind of like sunken almost. Which did a good job of kind of externally portraying what he's like on the inside, which is kind of empty and vapid. But yeah, he's a sick motherfucker, man.
Not a likable character.
Although I wouldn't say he's completely unlikable. He's likable enough. You don't like him at all?
At all.
I mean, no. he was driven. He had his goal and he had his way of seeing life and he followed it. But yeah, if you got in his way, then
in a very unlikable way, though, like he was goal driven, but so were other people. So are serial killers.
yeah, he's driven as a serial killer. Sounds good. I recommend that one. It was well done. Very well done.
Yeah.
I saw something else, too. I saw it, like, a while ago. It's called... I think it's While We Were Young. It's called... While We Were Young or While We Are Young. Let me do a search here. While We Were Young. This one is... With stars Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts as a couple in their mid-40s who meet this younger couple who are kind of like free. So they're like in their 40s and they're kind of stuck in their routine. And they meet this younger couple who kind of fills them with energy because it's this young couple in their 20s and they have all this energy. And it's kind of so they kind of glom onto them and start. The one guy is the main guy, Ben Stiller, is like a documentary director and he's been working on this documentary for years. And the younger guy is also wants to be a documentary filmmaker, so he's just getting started in the business, so he decides to help him. And it's kind of a look at life in terms of when you get older, being older and kind of stable and more boring versus being young and exciting. And during the course of this movie, being young and exciting seems like a better way to be, like they missed like back when they were that age or whatever. But then they kind of realize through the course of the movie that way of living is unsustainable. So it was good. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Cool. That's something though that you probably have to kick. I didn't enjoy it, but it kicking and screaming, enjoy it. You'd have to tie me up in front of the
drag
TV.
You there.
Yeah. anything else?
If I watched anything, I'm TV wise, I'm almost done watching Constantine.
Oh God, that series gets good. I mean, it builds and builds and builds, and I really like it.
Yeah, I only have one episode left.
He is going to appear on Arrow, which is cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
Same actor. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what they did wrong, though. Like, well, Friday night's a bad spot.
To discover that.
Yeah.
That spot, yeah.
I just wish, I don't know, it belongs on CW, but then, like, Alan says, well, they have Supernatural and stuff like that, but it's not Constantine.
Yeah, I wish that it had done better, because it's a really good show. And the main character is awesome. He's like the perfect, he's perfectly cast to this role.
But as you got like two or three left?
I think just, yeah, one or two.
It kind of like leaves a lot of threads open, though. And that's why I don't like. I wish I would have got like a movie or something just to wrap up
everything, yeah.
Some of the stuff that's going on, because the underlying theme is that demons are kind of leaking into our world,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to shut it down, but it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and he can't really shut it all down. So yeah, I dig it. And then the supporting cast got better and better.
And the last one I watched was the one at the hospital where
that was a like, good one.
He trapped
Didn't that
the
one ant- have a. Well, they had Corrigan, and then they had who else appeared in that hospital one? It was a villain. Was it Felix Faust? I think it was Felix Faust was one of the hospital guys.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was the guy with the diamond or the – no, Eclipso. It was Eclipso. He had the diamond. That was awesome.
Oh, the
yeah. The purple one. The purple gem. That was cool.
Yeah, and I like how he trapped the angel on Earth, so he couldn't go back. That was pretty cool. But that was a good one. Yeah, I've been enjoying that series. So I'm sad that it's not gonna be around anymore.
Yeah, I am too. I thought it was really fantastic. I think it took like two or three episodes, but once I got into it, I was totally engrossed.
Yeah, I think once they started with the bigger storylines, it got better.
I like when I have a TV show that I get so into that I forget that I'm on the elliptical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I forget that I'm forcing myself to exercise.
Forget that you're exercising.
Yeah, and one of those series that I'm watching now, well, I'm almost all caught up on The Strain. I absolutely love The Strain. I think it's amazing. It's like a no-holds-barred TV show of horror. But another one in the horror genre that I'm absolutely in love with, and I didn't think this would be a good elliptical show, is the third season of Bates Motel. I am so hooked to it right now. There is so much backstory on there, and I never – ever in my wildest dreams after watching Psycho, Psycho 2, Psycho 3, Psycho 4, never in my wildest dreams thought of all the complex things that could have been in this backstory. I know they're reinventing it, but the backstory is absolutely fascinating. The characters are so damn good. And it makes you want to watch the next episode. Like last night, I went back to back on the elliptical. Usually I only do half an hour, and I did an hour and, I don't know, 20 minutes on the elliptical because I had to watch two episodes. And they're really good. It's an hour show, but we skipped through the commercials. Reduces the show time pretty significantly to like 30, 40 minutes after you strip out all the commercials. But, I think it's a great show. I really like Bates Motel.
Yeah, I need to. I still haven't watched any of those. I need to get on that.
I think they're on Netflix. I don't know if you have that, but.
Yeah, I have Netflix.
I think Bates Motel is on there. At least not the current season, but 1 and 2.
Yeah, 1 and 2. I do like the woman who's in that, so.
She is amazing. All the actors in that show are amazing. Amazing actors. It's like, even the ones you don't like, they're good actors. Like, the sheriff in the town has become one of my favorite characters on the show. And it's so convoluted. And there's so much backstory. And all I'll say is, in season 3, Norman Bates is losing his shit. I mean, he's kind of lost his shit in season 1 and 2. But he's gone to the place that I didn't think they'd get to. Early, anyway. He is creepy as all hell. And I'd shit my pants if I was in that family. And that's it all I have for TV. Do you have any more TV?
Nope. Not really. Just waiting for the new season to start. Should be soon.
We only have 4 more episodes, I think, of Bates Motel, and then we're on to the second season of Penny Dreadful.
I haven't watched that either.
And I think that is like, I'll compare that to like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with monsters. That's what that reminds me of. And right now I'm eating a burrito with hash brown and egg.
Ah, delicious.
No meat, but it's absolutely delicious. And it has green chili, too. And I'm throwing salsa in there, too. And it's got cheese. Real cheese. It doesn't have nut cheese.
No nut cheese in there?
There's no nut cheese. This is real cheese.
It's real eggs, not nut eggs.
Yeah. None of that Luna stuff. Even Alan wouldn't eat there. Can you believe that? I eat there and Alan's like, I can eat that.
He would have had it probably. That's as far as he would have gone.
Nah, in all fairness, Keith invited him. He's like, you want to go to Luna's with me? And then he sees like us on Facebook posting shit from Five Guys and there's Alan eating the Five Guys. He's like, you turned me down, man.
Oh, that's when Keith went by himself.
Yeah. That's right. I'm glad I tried it because it's one of those crazy ass things that I'll never do again. Mm-hmm. But at least I know what dirt tastes like.
You've eaten dirt. You could say it now.
I need another burrito. I'll have to make another one. This is good.
Sounds good. I'm thinking now I might have to have one myself.
I didn't think without bacon it would pull it off, but it really did pretty good.
You got the salsa and the chilies, so.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, I think that's it. Do you have any food you want to mention?
No, not really. I think for lunch I'm going to have a salmon melt.
I think you have that for lunch every day.
Salmon melts?
Either that or canned tuna or canned sardines. Or are you going to put it on the grill?
Not every day. No, just fry it.
So you have like fresh salmon in the freezer and you just put it in the...
No, it's canned salmon. I'll mix
canned
it with
salmon?
Yeah. I'll mix it with some mayo and dill.
Some dill?
Yeah,
mayo
dill,
and dill?
Dillweed.
You like dillweed?
I like dillweed. Don't you like dillweed?
No. Do you smoke it?
Dillweed?
Yeah.
Sometimes. When I was in my teens.
You smoke dillweed?
Sit on the porch and smoke some dillweed.
Is that like ragweed?
Ragweed is a weed.
Well, so is dillweed.
Dillweed is not I guess that is.
It has dill weed in it. What the? Why is it not a weed if it has the weed?
I guess it's a weed. Dill weed. Yeah, put that on some bread. Fry it up. A little cheese on there.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And what do you guys, do you make it for the whole family or is it all a free-for-all on Sunday?
For lunch?
Yeah.
Free-for-all. Dinner, I don't know what we're going to do.
But don't you have to make the kids something? Like, here's a hot dog or...
For lunch, yeah.
Or do you say, here, have some dill weed and sit here, down and you're going to like it? Right.
Smoke this dill weed.
They'll calm you down.
That's right. Then you won't notice that we haven't fed you.
What and what? How do you cook this? Just in a pan, or do you broil it, or what do you do?
Just fry it, like fry a grilled cheese. Just fry it like a grilled cheese, like a patty melt with salmon.
Yuck.
Mm.
Salmon's a fishy. Barb says to put onions on your salmon.
Yeah, I do put I put onions in there.
He puts onions on there with along with his dill weed.
And dill weed.
His dill weed and what was the other thing? Mayo? Mayo?
Mayo weed? And pepper.
Pepper.
Mmm, that's cheese. Good.
You put cheese?
Yeah, I do put some cheese on. I put a slice of cheese on there.
American cheese or Swiss or what do you put on there?
I probably put provolone on there.
Provolone? Okay. Pretentious cheese.
That's not pretentious.
I'm just kidding.
Provolone. Some. I'll probably put some Roquefort.
Roquefort cheese.
A little probably some French brie.
And then you start practicing your Italian accent. Put some provolone on my cheese.
Provolone on my cheese. Trampuschetta.
All right. Well, you have a good Sunday. You got 2 hours and 11 minutes of recording time.
Beautiful for
yes.
Geek Brunch episode 2 something something. I'll look it
2
up.
Something something. Give me a something something. You can reach us while he's looking that up. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's where he's going right now to find out our episode number.
Clicking on it right now.
Yeah. And on Facebook, you can like us at Geek Brunch Podcast, and you could talk to us on there. Or you could send us Twitters at do underscore what, at Mike Myers Brunch, and at DBM00. Micah is back in the States.
He is.
He's returned. Stateside. And he's, like, demanding to be on this show. He's like, So missed you guys.
I've been waiting
so much to come on a Geek Brunch.
I've been suffering in Japan. Waiting,
I've been suffering waiting. With all these women around me.
Counting down the days.
I could hardly wait to get back and get on the phone with you guys.
That's right. I just hang out with all these women all day long in Japan.
When I could be talking about comics I'm not reading.
Could be talking about how I hate comics.
All right.
So we hope to have Micah back someday. Yeah,
someday when he pings us. Maybe he'll come by and say, I don't want anything to do with you guys.
Yeah, he might have surpassed us.
I've outgrown you.
That's right. It's not you, it's me. He'll tell us. In Japanese.
And I think that, Micah and Bill at comicbooknoise.com, send us email. Leave an iTunes review.
Yes.
You lazy ass people. You don't send us any money. You might as well leave us a damn iTunes review. We could use them. Positive or negative. If you hear me chewing on the podcast, you should say so.
It was good until Mike started eating his burrito.
Yeah.
Live on the air.
And I'll say, what part of brunch do you not understand?
It's in the name of the show.
It's in the name of the show.
Yes, I only ate a banana during the show.
Yeah. Did you deep throat it? Did you take it all in at once?
No, I sucked on it a little.
You sucked on the banana? Licked the tip?
Yeah, that's a little.
Then you spent some time on the bananas. I think, is that a word, bananas?
I haven't heard it before.
You think I could use that as a show title?
I'm afraid to do a search for that.
Would you help me spell it? Bananas? I know how to spell anus, and I know how to spell ban. Add an anus? Bananas? N-U-S.
Yeah, it's just bananas.
Okay, we'll call
it anus.
Bananas. Bananas.
It's the little hole in the bottom of the banana when it's pulled back from the peel.
That's the nasty part. I won't eat the bananas. Will you eat the bananas?
Wait, which is the bananas?
It's the bottom of... It's like the core part.
Oh, the hard part at the bottom?
Hard part at the bottom, yeah.
No, why would you eat that? People eat that?
I think people like Knudsen would eat the bananas.
I've heard that... I did hear that Knudsen likes to eat bananas, but I thought they were talking about something else.
Eating something off the ass.
Bananas. Oh, that's why they had at that restaurant, they had a banana smoothie.
A banana smoothie. All made out of just bananas. That means everybody has to eat the banana and save the bananas.
Well, I remember we had that bananas. One of the hummuses, I think, was a bananas hummus. Bananas hummus.
I like the regular hummus so much better. Like that hummus was so dry. Or there was something wrong with it.
Some of it was good. A couple of those were good. I like the spicy one.
I bought some hummus. It's bananas hummus. What is that? Chili hummus. Green chili hummus.
All right, green chili hummus.
Yep.
I do like the hummus.
You do. You like the anus, too. Bananas.
I do not like the bananas. In fact, my bananas is still in my skin.
Yeah, I don't know who, says, I could hardly wait to get to the bananas. Could hardly wait. It's the best part of the banana, and I'm finally there.
That's right. You never know till you try. Have you ever tried... Have you ever licked the bananas before?
No, I've eaten the bananas before, and it's not the texture of it is hard, and it's not very flavorful. It's a little black thing, like a little worm in the middle or something. A little root, a black root that you can suck on. But this has been Geek Brunch. We hope you learned a little bit. You learned a little bit of Italian. You learned a little bit about fruit.
Bananases.
Yeah.
Episode 230.
230. How about that? And we'll see you next time. See you, Bill. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.